that, oh Nabi of Allah, did Jibreel come to visit you in the salah? Was there some revelation that took place? The Messenger of Allah tells him, no, nothing, absolutely nothing of that sort has taken place. No revelation came to me. But oh Nabi of Allah, such a long sajda was in the salah that we never experienced before. We thought something special is happening, something that we are not seeing is happening. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam smiled and laughed and he said, it was nothing of that sort. But the moment I went in sajda, my grandson jumped on my back and he was riding me. I didn't want to spoil his fun. I said, let him finish, then I will wake up from that sajda. Now imagine, look at that. Now we're not talking about salah. Let's take a modern day example. Let's take a present day example. We're not of the level of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but we'll cite an example that everybody will relate to and everybody will be able to understand. It's the World Cup final, last moments of the game. You engrossed and glued to that screen. Both the scores are tied. It's a crucial moment, last few seconds left. And your son runs, small toddler, he comes and puts the TV off. What will happen? I mean, we'll be shocked out of our wits. All hell will break loose. What is wrong with you? How can you disturb me? So imagine now you engrossed again. And I'll give you another scenario. The child just jumps on your lap. You'll push him aside. Hey, wait, hold on. We're busy here. We're in the match. But you're not in the match. Your input doesn't make a difference. But we will not accommodate the child at that moment in what is, what we would say, the coolness of our eyes. Remember, the coolness of the eyes of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was salah. There was nothing he was more passionate about. There was nothing that he loved more. There was nothing that he loved to be engrossed more than in salah. But in his engrossment and in his enjoyment, he took the opportunity to accommodate his children for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That love and compassion, can we really accommodate our children in our moments of passion, which sometimes is really not the ideal passions for us to be going through or for us to be taking pleasure from? But can we really accommodate our children? Another incident, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam once hugged his grandchildren, he kissed them. So a man was there, he said, O Nabi of Allah, atuqabbilu sibyanakum? You kiss your children? Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes. So he says, Inna li ashra awladan, I got 10 sons, not one day I ever kissed them. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what can I do if Allah has snatched away mercy from your heart? How can I help you if Allah has taken away mercy from your heart? So irrespective of how big our children are gone, when was the last time we kissed our children? When was the last time we hugged our children? When was the last time we put our hand of affection on our children? How wonderful a wise man said, too often a touch of compassion and a word of mercy and a kind word and a word of encouragement has been underestimated. Yet that has the power to change an entire life. It has the power to turn a person's life around. Simple things like this. So when was the last time we had these moments of interaction with our children? That smile, for a parent to look at his child and smile, for the child to look back at the parent and smile. Today there's only frowns, there's only complaints, there's only turning away from each other. But where is that wonderful unity, family unity that we speak about? The ideal relationship of a family that Islam demands, that's supposed to be part of each and every household. But today we have given birth to, again we will repeat, the modern day orphan. The child has everything. Everything has at his disposal. But one of the most important things to rear him and nurture him in life is absent. And then we ask ourselves, why is there so many problems around us? Why are the youth so far away from us? Why are they so far away from the elders? But it's supposed to have started from there, that root, that seed that was planted in your home, that gift that was presented to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember one thing, every child comes into the world as a white wall. It's a white page. There's absolutely nothing on it. What happens in that home environment, and obviously in today's times with the trials and the fitnas that are lashing us from every angle, so sometimes even that plays a major role in it. But after that, all these things are put on that page. But what was put initially, that we got to ask ourselves, what was the first madrasa of each child? It's not that only when he entered grade 1, the teacher had to teach him then. That first words of etiquette, that first please, that first thank you, that first interaction with who? Who did our children first interact with when they came in this world? It was none but us. So what have we really passed on to them? As I said, to a certain extent, we have done a wonderful job, especially in this country. We have set up so much of infrastructure. We have given so many opportunities to our children. But what about the basic fundamental things? Have we lacked in that? How many a person is working so many hours in the day, but the moment he comes home, there's no quality time and family time for the children? How many a man comes home to his children sleeping and he leaves home to his children sleeping? How many a woman is engrossed in her own busy world? And we are neglecting those gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Where's those ideal situations and those times where every family, irrespective of how busy each person's day was, there was that special family quality time that had to be spent together every day. Everybody had to eat together, at least one meal a day. Or sometimes, if not one meal a day, then one or two meals a week. Everybody had to be present. We all need to be there for this meal. Today the father is eating somewhere else, somebody else is buying takeout. Such wonderful homes we've built from the outside, but it has been totally destroyed in the inside. We have enslaved, estranged ourselves in our own homes. Such wonderful homes we have built, but inside that home, it's a different story. Look back 30 or 40 years, the homes were so much more smaller and so much more simpler. But how much more broader those homes were? How much more warmer those homes were than today's times? We have advanced so much on the one hand, but I'm afraid we're retrogressing very, very badly on another angle and on another front. And we really need to take stock of this of ourselves. We really need to look and identify, where am I going wrong? Where can I improve? Remember, look at the world and you'll come to understand one thing, that everybody is advancing. In every field, everything is advancing and everybody wants to better themselves. The exact same thing applies to us as individuals and us as Muslims, more importantly. We also got to be advancing. We also got to be improving ourselves in every way that we can. It's never ever too late. Now sometimes we might be surprised at the initial reaction that we'll get. And imagine if we have to walk out of this masjid today and we're not accustomed to showing that love and affection to our children, and you go hug and kiss your son, he'll probably get a shock. Hey, what happened? Are you okay? But no, never mind. Overcome that first reaction. But see the reaction that will come from the child. And really speaking, at first he might pull back and he might feel reserved. But watch the heart of the child melt. Watch his heart run towards you. Watch him immediately bond to you. See what a difference you will have. The same with our daughters as well. Today we don't have that communication, and then unfortunately Allah save each and every one of our children. But when a problem comes about and we need to address it with our children, that door of communication was never there. So now you can't even address a problem which sometimes you really need to address. So the child says, oh, now when I got a problem, now you're worried about me. Now you've come to my assistance. Where were you all these days? Where were you all these months? We're very, very quick to complain of our children. And in no way are we giving children now license for them to pick on the faults of their parents. No, 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 that's definitely not. The maqam and status of their parents is something that has been ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. So that's totally out of the question. But we have this great honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. But what about the responsibility that comes with that honor? Every person needs to look within himself and ask himself the question, how can I improve myself as a parent? How can I improve myself as a father? How can I improve myself as a mother? How can I do a better job than what I'm doing? What is the interaction? What is the bond that I have with my child? Do I have the door of communication open with my child? When was the last time I had a laugh? I had a light-hearted moment with my child. You know, there's one youngster. So every now and then he tells his father that, I only see you looking at your phone and laughing. I mean, why don't you look at me and laugh? Every time I see you looking at your phone and you're laughing, look at me and laugh as well. Talk to me. So today we're so engrossed with these gadgets of technology. I mean, we've befriended these things to such an extent. You know, one person also said it, he put the statement forward and he said that from the day I got my TV, that's the day I stopped having close relationships with everybody else, because now I found a wonderful friend. That's not the situation that we need to be in. Now today it doesn't have to be the TV, today it's the iPhone. I mean, it's in my pocket, it's close to my heart, it's right there. But then again, you know, I don't know how true it is, but they say with regards to radiation that emits from the phone, don't keep it too close to your heart. But today it's so close to our hearts in every aspect. I mean, when that phone beeps, how excited we get when we see that red light flashing. What about when I see the smile on the child of my face? Does my heart also feel as happy? What about when my son calls me, Daddy, I need to speak to you? Is it more? Now let's take the two scenarios. Your phone starts ringing or your child is calling you. Where will run to first? I mean, let's be honest, 9 out of 10 times, naturally you'll run for the phone. No, hold on, no, I might miss the call, I can still speak to you later. But that call is much more important. That call is much more important for you to answer. That's the one that you have to answer first, irrespective of who's phoning on that side. And even if you're a doctor, irrespective of that as well, because sometimes the doctors use the excuse, no, it could be a major emergency. There's no greater call than the one that's been called right now by the child. You know, there was another incident that there was a woman sitting in a park with her child, and she was watching the child play on the swing. And then she tells the child that, listen, my child, come, we need to go, time is up. So the child is laughing and enjoying himself, and he says that, mom, 5 more minutes give me. So the mother says, no problem, have your 5 minutes. And there was another lady seated next to this lady. She's watching the whole scenario. 7 minutes elapse. And then the mother looks at the child again and says, child, come, we're getting late. We need to go now. And the child is having a wonderful time. And he says, mom, give me 5 more minutes. I'm busy playing. Mother says, no problem, my child, you can have your 5 minutes. And this happens 3 or 4 times. Eventually, the woman next to her tells her that, you know, I got to ask you the question. It's amazing your level of patience, man. I mean, 5 or 6 times your child has extended the time that you need to go. But so lovingly and with so much of patience, you're doing it. I mean, well, what's the secret? I mean, to a certain extent, we do have that lack of patience. We're not angels. We're human beings, after all. We are prone to mistakes and prone to faults. So the lady says, tell me, what's your secret? Listen to how this lady responds. She says, look, that's my second child. He had an elder brother. And at that time in my life, when I had that child, I was very, very busy and caught up in my life. I was busy in my daily tasks and my daily chores. I hardly got time to spend with that child. And then it so happened that the child got sick and the child passed away. So today, even if I want to, I can't spend 1 second with that child. I rather give this child as many more 5 minutes as he wants, because my other child has left this world. I can't spend 1 second more with that child. I can't go back in time and change it. That child has left this world. But this gift that is still in front of me, I'll give this child as much more 5 minutes as he wants. Now, it's something for us to think about. That quality time that we spend in with our children. Even sometimes when we go on holiday, we say we're going for holiday as a family, but still everybody's in their own worlds. Still there's no quality time. We're spending thousands of rands, we're touring the whole world, but we're not touring as a family, we're touring as strangers. We're all going to one place, but again, it's as if we're worlds apart. Now, we really need to take control of this situation and try and mend it in positive ways and try and bring in the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our life. That sunnah of hugging your children, that sunnah of a father putting his hand on the back of his child, that sunnah of paying a good word to our children, of saying something good, a word of encouragement. It's so fast that we complain. But when is the last time we praise them over their achievements? And we encourage them. We know now many children will be starting in the next few weeks trials and these exams. So it's very easy for you to tell your child that, you know, you must pass and I need you to get these results and this is what I want you to do in life. But when was the last time we held the hand of our son and said, my son, I'm proud that you have reached so far in life and I'm making dua for you. I wish you all the best. But my son, irrespective of what is to come, as long as you have given up your best, your ultimate best, that's enough for me. We need to prepare our children in a very, very delicate manner. Today, sometimes as parents, we expect too much from them. And then when they don't make the grade, then it's a nasty scenario. Sometimes the child goes in depression, sometimes the parent is in depression. Because we have put too much pressure on them. Look at Luqman al-Hakim, the wise. What a great slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeatedly speaks about the advice that he gave to his son. And one of the advices that he gave his son, what sterling advices. He said, Ya bunayya aqimi salata wa'mur bil ma'rufi wanha anil munkar wasbir ala ma asabak. What beautiful advice. He said, oh my child, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, establish salah in your life, enjoin what is good, forbid what is evil, wasbir ala ma asabak. Now it's very easy for each one of us to paint that picture in front of our children that they always have to give off the best and we always want the best results from them and they have to pass and they have to make the grade. But when was the last time you prepared your child for the challenges that life will present to them? It's not everybody that's going to pass all the time. It's not everybody that's going to make the grade. But have we also prepared them for the challenges that life will present to them? What does Luqman say to his son? Wasbir ala ma asabak. Oh my son, be patient over that which afflicts you. Be patient over the challenges that will come to you. That means your life is not going to be rosy. You're not always going to pass. You're not always going to come out first. There's going to be times where challenges will come. That's the time where you need to be steadfast. That's the time where you need to be patient. If only this sentiment is echoed to our youngsters, then will we have that severe state of depression that comes upon youngsters when sometimes they don't make the grade, when they have to resort to committing suicide, when they don't make it through matric. Why? Because they haven't been prepared for the challenges that life will present to themselves. So on the one hand, we say, oh my son, you go off and you give your best. But remember, if you don't make the grade, to me, you definitely made the grade. That's a challenge that life has presented. You have to go through that as well. It's not only about laughing and smiling. Sometimes you're going to be sad in life, but you got to pick yourself up and you got to walk and you got to move from that. That is when you have truly succeeded. When failure presents itself to you, you haven't failed. It's how you conduct yourself in that failure that will tell you whether you have truly failed or whether you have really passed without you acknowledging. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. As I said, nobody is perfect. Sometimes there's faults on both sides, but sometimes as adults, we got to ask ourselves the question that where have we gone wrong and how can we improve ourselves? And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save all our youth from the challenges and the difficulties that are facing them on a daily basis. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them those that love and respect their parents. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us such parents that we earn that love and respect of our children. As another person very beautifully put it, he said, take care of them, love them, and shower them with mercy when they need it the most, and most definitely when you need it the most, that's the time where they'll do the same for you. They will shower you with love, they will shower you with mercy when you need it the most. We're all gonna get old one day, but what we plant here in the ground, that's gonna benefit us when we get old. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.